Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. This is episode 100, time to cancel Amateur Nation. Before we get started, please subscribe to my YouTube page. As of last week, it was our very first video episode of the podcast. I've posted some other full episode postings that had just audio only, just as an experiment. And of course, you can check out every single podcast preview for every single episode going back to number one in case you want to get caught up, or maybe you go back and check out the detailed descriptions that I put on there that will tell you what each episode's about, and you can pick out your favorites. There's some gems in there. I think you'll really enjoy it. And thank you for joining the show for our second video episode, but episode 100 overall. So subscribe to my YouTube page, please. Don't forget to download a copy of my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. It's on Amazon for the pandemic price of under $5. That was reduced by 45% until all the shutdowns are over. And if you have a comment, question, or gripe, just call the Amateur Nation hotline that you see here. Now, of course, you can email me, lou@lousantini.com. And once again, before we get started with the three topics, I would like to address the issue of people, actually, I should say, pros, posting and commenting that to myself and on their own pages that they are losing friends in real life and via social media over their beliefs during this stressful time regarding things like shutdowns and politics and masks, protests, riots, losing our freedoms every single day, etc. So let's bust out two of my best friends, Logic and Common Sense. Now, think about this. The person that cut you, I'm speaking to the pros right now who may have lost friends over all these different topics over the last 6 months. The person that cut you loose because of your beliefs did so because probably up until recently, he or she did not know your beliefs and how you really felt about the things I just mentioned, and didn't know your politics and your social policy, right? And you, more than likely, did not know theirs until they cut you loose. So what's the lesson here? Okay? Keep some things to yourself. Pros and amateurs, especially amateurs, will give out their whole life story, including their PIN and social security number and their mother's maiden name on social media just to get another goddamn like. But keep some things to yourself. Everyone, and sadly, pros included, myself included, sometimes, feel the need to share every single belief, every emotion, every stance, be it political, religious, or social. Ask yourself, what did you do before social media? I'm not saying you don't have a right to speak your mind. Everyone does, and I do mean everyone, peacefully and without screaming and violence and disrupting the lives of others. And you can still believe what you want. You can support what you want. But shoving it down each other's throats is ruining friendships. There are, in my opinion, three types of relationships that form and fill your life. Friends, family, and business relationships. You could break that down into other social settings, maybe something at church or a club you're involved in. But generally, you've got business friends, real-life friend friends, and then you got family. I mean, going back to way back in the day, remember MCI, the landline company? They would have their friends and family discounts. Even cell phones today, they have friends and family packages. As Jerry Seinfeld said, there's a reason that friends come first for some reason. But you got friends, family, and business. And if you're going to share your every mood every location you go to, all of your information, every belief you have, no matter how serious, how trivial, how important, every passion, experience, etc., you better take into consideration which medium you're sharing that information on. Who sees it? And which of your three relationships it's going to affect? And take a minute to flash forward and ask yourself, will this kill my relationship with anyone? Will it give my family grief? Will this cost me my job or my career? Sure, you can take my quote from two episodes ago, the one that I recapped last episode, the more you find yourself, the more friends you'll lose. And of course, I added, and if you do find yourself and lose friends, they probably weren't your friends to begin with. You're gonna have to weigh in on which is more important, okay? On certain topics anyway. Your principles, your ideals, your beliefs about certain topics, and more importantly, your right and desire to express them, or maintaining a healthy relationship with your friends, family, and business associates, customers, those kind of things. Some things are worth it, some are not. We're all human, and we've all made the mistake of throwing ourselves under the bus. I'm a comedian. I talk for a living, and I've made my living with broadcasting and public speaking and television and live performances since 1986. I know I've thrown myself under the bus more than once. The more you talk in public, the more you talk on social media, the more you talk on the radio, on a podcast, on stage, it increases your odds. But know that I am indeed being more careful. Not because I'm afraid of cancel culture. I owe no one an explanation. I don't take any amateur that participates in cancel culture seriously. Not one little bit. It's just imagined power. But I do take my relationships with my friends, family, and business associates seriously. I have never cut anyone loose because of their beliefs, only because of their actions. Also, this side reason, if you're questioning my loyalty or my work ethic, I'm not saying I'm cutting you loose, but you're on the bubble. You question my loyalty as a friend, as a family member, as an employee, as an owner of my business, and that is myself, so to speak. We're gonna have a problem, and I think that's the way it is with everyone. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Why would anyone be okay with having their loyalty and their work ethic questioned? Look, I make jokes about serious things sometimes. It's how I handle stress. It's the gift I was given that I enjoy sharing. Doesn't always work, but I will not give that up. And on more than one occasion, I have had friends in their time of crisis thank me for my sense of humor and adding levity to what otherwise would have been a stressful situation. I make no apologies for the jokes that I make on social media or on stage. I would say that my track record is pretty high. Successful, that is. I don't think I've ever apologized for a joke I said on stage. I don't think I've apologized for anything I've posted on social media. I have taken things down that in hindsight, like, maybe I won't leave that up. Not because I was worried about cancel culture, because maybe I was in a bad mood. Maybe I had a couple of these in me, or I didn't get enough sleep, those kind of things. Or just simply looking back and going, yeah, I'm taking that down. It's not that important that I say what I just said. That being said, I still, like many comedian friends of mine, get flack for making light of all the serious crap that's going on in the world. To which I reply, yeah, and? If you're going to scream, I'm talking to the amateurs now. If you're going to scream in the face of strangers, literally, tell on people, call them names, even go so far as to call them racist, because they won't wear a mask. Somehow people are connecting the dots there. Well, then I'm allowed to make a harmless joke that doesn't attempt to sway your opinion or threaten you or your livelihood. So as 90s rap group Onyx said, back the fuck up. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation. Topic number one. You know, I remember going back all the way to what, junior high school, when you're writing theme papers. Each paragraph should have a topic sentence. Here you go. I can't think of a less essential worker than most professional athletes right now. Let that sink in. Come on, you know I'm right. Stay with me. On the one hand, I have argued on this show many times that all workers are essential. Before I even get into this topic, let me just say this. I would say about 10 episodes ago, I talked about a tweet that I put up where I said, in the past 3 months, I have been told that I'm a germ-infested, lazy, non-essential worker, and that I'm racist. And I said, always by nameless, faceless media, commercials, and other social media that don't even know me, my work ethic, my history, my track record, etc. And I'm sick of it. I think most pros are, even plenty of amateurs. Who wants to be told that by people you don't know? Those are hard-hitting things. But I also argued that, look, every worker is essential. You can sit there and argue all day that police, firemen, nurses, doctors, and teachers are more essential, but then all of a sudden it was the Amazon delivery guy, the Uber driver, the guy bagging your groceries. Those are essential workers. Oh, wait, and also these people and these people. It seems like everyone, I'm not saying, have a pity party, everyone except me. Here's my point. If you, watching this, have been holding your own, right, and earning your keep, paying your taxes, basically proving and earning your right to exist, paying your bills, and yes, we are all in debt right now, and debt is climbing, those kind of things, understandable, but you understand what I'm saying, right? If you're not sponging off the government needlessly, if you're not, doing something criminal, if you're just an honest, hardworking American citizen that pays your taxes and contributes back to the gross national product, and you do your job, you're essential. And what you're telling the non-essential workers is that, well, up to this point, thanks for participating and thanks for the money you've been contributing, but the work that you do has no value. If it gives back to the community and it pays taxes, it has fucking value. And that's the fact, Jack. If you want to argue that police and firemen and nurses and doctors are more important than I won't argue with that. Why would I? You know, no one's ever said, is there a comedian in the house? God help us, man. We need a podcaster and an author. Is there a TV? No, I get that. But don't tell me that I'm non-essential. Don't tell the guy mowing your yard he's not essential. Don't say that the person bagging your groceries, the manager of the grocery store, the person stocking the groceries, the truck driver driving the groceries to the grocery store are not essential. Everyone in America who works and has paid taxes and earns their keep is essential. Now let's get to the topic at hand. That being said, if we're going to play that fucking game, I can't think of anything less essential than a professional athlete. I have several friends who are sports reporters in Northeast Ohio, probably close to 10, having my broadcasting, my radio and TV career starting in Ohio. I still have a lot of friends still working in sports in Ohio. And I really feel for them because they have an obligation to report all the crap, all the politics, all the bullshit going on that is sports related. That's a complete distraction from the sports events themselves. Sports that are poorly attended and hardly watched. Not to mention my friends who are in sports reporting genuinely love sports the way I love comedy, the way I love drag racing and cars. And I worry that all of this non-sports news, non-sports events news, and all the politics and social drama surrounding sports is sucking the joy out of their jobs. I hope I'm wrong. But I cannot remember the last time I heard a sports story, even pre-pandemic, that was merely about scores, records, milestones, and inspirational and touching sports moments. I walked away from the big three sports years ago, and that was because I got tired of hearing about things like spousal abuse, drunk driving incidences, cheating, greed, contract disputes, Spygate, Deflategate, murder, and my favorite, rookies who haven't thrown one pass, shot one basket yet, haven't proven their mettle yet, acting like they're a Hall of Famer. I got tired of that, so I walked away from the big three. And now they're going to pile on politics and social causes on top of that? Adios, big three sports. The longer this goes on, the more likely I will never come back. All we keep hearing all we keep hearing about on social media with the mask people is, you know, caring about each other. Show that you care about your fellow man, caring about your fellow Americans. Yet the athletes have proven that they don't care about their fellow man. They care about their wallets and their organization, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, and political agendas. I'm not saying they don't want to play. I'm not saying they don't love their sport. But they put that over the actual job that they have to do that for us is entertainment. It is. What other job is entertainment for the masses? Well, I'll tell you. TV, movie, plays, stand-up comedy, to a certain degree, videos like this on the web. Anyone who is in entertainment or sports, that is their job. I take what I do very seriously. I work hard at it. I'm very disciplined at it. But I also am smart enough to know, like, it's just entertainment for everyone. Okay? Politics slash social agendas and sports, those two things, I know they're three, but politics and social agendas combined with sports should never intersect. Politics and sports should never intersect. I know there have been some pioneers when it comes to athletes spawning social and political change. Muhammad Ali, Pele, Billie Jean King, Tommy Smith and John Carlos's Black Power salute during the 68 Olympics, Pat Tillman, just to name a few. I get that. But they handled their social causes and politics off the court, out of the ring, off the field. But they handled their business on the field, on the court, in the ring. The politics and social causes were after work, right? Right? Athletes have a right to speak their minds. Of course they do. Just keep it out of the actual game and the event itself so I can enjoy your work and the entertainment that it is. It might be work for you, but it's entertainment for us, just like stand-up comedy and live music and everything else I mentioned. Here comes a logic bomb. You ready? If pro athletes get to go to work along with coaches, trainers, security, food vendors, officials, and all the stadium employees, support staff can go to work, bars and restaurants and schools and churches can and should go to work. By the way, sorry, I have an itch. By the way, last week I talked about how the Washington Redskins caved to cancel culture and temporarily changed their name to the Washington Football Team. I really hope that did not take more than 20 seconds of deliberation in a meeting. But I did come up with five alternate names for the Washington Redskins that I think should be considered. Here you go. Number one, the Washington Pussies. Number two, the Washington Cavers. Number three, the Washington Sellouts. Number four, the Washington Virtue Signalers. And number five, I can picture the logo on the side of the helmet now, the Washington Snowflakes. One last thing about sports. I'm assuming you don't like slavery. Who does? Well, guess what? China has slavery and lots of it. It's booming, as a matter of fact. Also, guess what else they have? A massive broadcasting deal for NBA games. And the NBA players want to protect their financial interests and exposure and endorsements. So they, in essence, support slavery, as does the NBA. Yao Ming want to weigh in on this? Topic number two. I want to talk about what people post on social media. I'm sure you have heard the news. Of course, is it really news that Google, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and even Amazon, other social media platforms are pretty much under fire for either A, censorship, B, political bias, and C, something you've always known, that they track and use your information, whether it's for advertising purposes or actually something even more sinister. You know, I'm not saying I'm okay with it now because a lot of time has gone by, but I knew the writing was on the wall the second, what was it, Friendster, MySpace, those social media platforms came out that, oh yeah, they're going to be tracking to see what I buy so they can gear advertising towards me. I don't like it, but as I said in last week's episode, sometimes you cannot like something and still be okay with it, meaning, all right, whatever, These are what your settings are for on your social media pages. And you can always, oh, I don't know, ignore the ads. When you watch TV, don't you fast forward through the commercials when possible? I mean, this podcast, by the way, a sidebar, I actually I promoted last week's first full video podcast on Facebook. Spent $50 just trying to get it out there a little bit more, using it as a Facebook ad. And one of my, not one of my listeners, one of the people responded, I think it said something like, another fucking Facebook ad, fuck off. Man, did I like that. I appreciate that. Good for her. I think her name was Mary. Good for you, Mary. I even commented, I said, ooh, I like you. I wasn't hurt by that. I didn't delete her, didn't censor her, block her. She's pissed. Maybe she watched the episode, maybe she didn't. But she had a knee-jerk reaction. You're like, oh, God, another one of these things. I get that. And I respect that. Okay, back to my point. All the social media uses, they track your information so they can gear ads toward you. But they do something more sinister with that. Listen carefully. They look and analyze all the social and political comments that you make. And they compare that to all the social and political data that they have so they can control and sway public opinion in the United States. So they can control and sway media bias and even take action determining. This is why they censor what they censor online. I'll try to give you the short version. The social media platforms are in the pockets of various political causes. They get paid to censor opposing views. Duh. And if you don't see that, if you go, oh, Lou, come on. Are you really that blind that you can't see that opinions, simple texts, posts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram are being censored? Other ones are not. The ones that are not are done to undermine. I'm not saying Republican or Democrat. I'm saying undermine the democratic political process that is the United States. They are undermining democracy. That's the fact, Jack. That's the fact. Tell yourself all day, oh, Luke, stop. It's happening. It's here. We have been so lucky for so long and or so blind for so long that we just don't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe it, but I woke up. I became woke. That being said, while I do post things that like that are funny or are related to my podcast or my book before there were no shutdowns, my performances, complete with photos of friends and being on stage or on set or in a voiceover booth or posting things that I have shot, produced, voiced, been on camera for, whatever, because that's the business that I'm in, promoting myself. I'm a one-man company. I don't post a lot of personal things on social media, to a degree. Of course, I post photos with funny captions of good times I've had with friends, trips that I've taken, places I've been, like the drag races, big fan of that, right behind me. Or if I see something odd, I love weird signs, funny album covers, things that strike me as funny, I post those things. Most of the time, I leave them on my wall on Farcebook for 24 hours, and then they're done. Of course, that does not mean that they weren't being seen or stored or captured. I'm not so naive to think that once you delete something from the internet, it's not there forever. It's just like print. The internet is forever. But I have talked about at length on this podcast and especially in my book, the amateur need. Let me say that again. The amateur need to post every emotion, every mundane activity, every fucking meal, even posting your exact location when you go out. Why would you? Why? Here I am. What are you in the family circus when you see that little dotted line of traveling where you went? And of course, for amateurs, their every mood and the most private of private things, illnesses, injuries sustained in car accidents, for example, the loss of a boyfriend or a girlfriend or going through a divorce. And I often wonder, why do people do that? I mean, misery loves company? It's got to be more than that, right? Because you can always call a friend, text a friend, meet with a friend. Misery loves company. That's what friends are for, to be your sounding board when you're down, right? That's what a good friend does. And then I remember, oh, that's right. That sweet attention that amateurs need, crave, and in their eyes, deserve. And of course, there's good attention and bad attention. you had a good time with friends, a good vacation, a good experience at the drag races like I always do. That's good attention, right? And I'm not saying people don't have a right to post whatever they want to post because, you know, this show is not about censorship. But you can't complain about having your privacy and information taken, media bias, ads skewed toward your interests, when you post your every exact location, your every meal, your every mood, and every personal thought, what's going on in your world, what's going on with your relationship, when you had sex, who you broke up with, who you like. And the thing that made me talk about this on today's episode, if you're sick. I understand if you post things, say, if you're battling cancer. I've had more than one friend of mine battle cancer, and they want to leave a message of hope, and they want to keep everyone up to date on their progress going through chemo, radiation, and to save time rather than calling all their friends, people who are genuinely worried about them, calling them, emailing them, text messaging them to keep them up to date on their progress. There are these other posts, regardless of the severity of the illness, that clearly are just looking for comments and or likes, and of course, attention. A friend of mine did indeed get the coronavirus. Actually, I've known three people who have had the coronavirus. Fully recovered, no issues, by the way. Ranging from late 20s, mid-40s, to mid to late 60s. And one was a nurse who was very sick. She was morbidly obese. I don't know if she'd battle with diabetes or heart disease, but she was a nurse surrounded by that in Chicago, one of the hot spots when this first started, and she's totally fine. I'm not saying that it's not serious. People don't die. Calm down. Why do I have to keep saying calm down? I know the pros watching this know what I'm saying. So a friend of mine recently did indeed get the coronavirus. She was not laid up. She was not laid up, right? She stayed inside for a week. She was never hospitalized. She was never given any kind of prescription medication. She simply got extra bed rest. And within a week or two, right? Yeah, within 2 weeks, she was back in action at the beach. And to be clear, this does not mean that anyone who catches the coronavirus doesn't have different levels of struggle depending on your weakened immune system, your advanced age, if you have heart disease, diabetes. Again, this does bear repeating. Diabetes and heart disease are the number one and two problems in the United States, usually due to obesity, and we are the fattest country in America. I'm not saying anyone deserves this, but it's not every single person equally vulnerable. It's not. You know that. But here we have an otherwise healthy, middle-aged, reasonably fit woman. But looking at her Facebook page, first she made the announcement that she simply wasn't feeling well. I couldn't tell you for certain if she would have posted a simple statement like that pre-pandemic. I really don't know. But having known this person for years, I definitely say she wouldn't, because having known her, she can be difficult to read sometimes. She always plays her emotions and her privacy very close to the vest. But now all of a sudden, But that's just it. First post, I woke up not feeling well. Raise your hand if any of you have woken up not feeling well in the last 10 years. Raise your hand if you called anyone, posted stuff, or emailed the world about waking up not quite feeling well. Yeah. Look, I wake up not feeling well. My neck gets stiff, my lower back sometimes. I had a weird bug bite on my ankle the other day, a crazy rogue hair on my back that I couldn't reach. Run to Facebook. The world needs to know. She posted she wasn't feeling well, and of course, 75 comments, "You need to get tested," which she did, and not because the amateurs and the fear-mongering told her to. She's a smart woman. It's a pandemic. She wasn't feeling well. She wasn't sick normally, so she was going to get tested anyway. Turns out she had the coronavirus. Of course, amateurs everywhere. See? It's real. Yeah, we all knew that. Okay? And what if that test would have come back negative and she had the regular flu or a cold or something else? Yeah, but she didn't. Yes, but people get tested for the coronavirus every single day in America, and more often than not, it comes back negative. What about that? Yeah, well, to be safe, you should probably just shut the world down. But I digress. This does not mean that everyone who commented saved her life or cares about her. I mean, I don't mean they have disdain and hatred towards her. Look, this is a fact. I sneeze easily 50 times a day, every day since birth. regardless of whether I have a cold, my geography, the plant life around me, the weather, my allergy season, I'm a sneezer. But it doesn't alarm me every time I sneeze that I might be getting sick. Normal people know when they're under the weather. You know when you're like, I don't feel right. You know when you feel, I feel a little hot. I feel weak. I feel tired. I feel drained. You know. You know when you're starting to catch a cold or have the flu or a stomach virus or you ate something weird. But until social media, no one called all their friends and told them that they were beginning to feel lousy. You didn't do that. Not on a landline, not on a cell phone. I just, hey, how you doing? I just want to let you know I don't feel so good. Okay, we didn't have any plans. I know, I just thought you should know. Great, can I go back to my life now? No, everyone needs to know that shit now. Then, of course, came the post where she had to mention that she had the coronavirus and the sympathy just poured in. And then, of course, the follow-up posts on how grateful she was that it wasn't severe and that she was fine. And, of course, thankful for the thoughts and prayers and the thumbs up and the likes. That's the kind of privacy and bad attention that amateurs give up and crave, respectfully. She and many of her commenters would say that it creates awareness. It makes the virus more real. Knowing that this woman that I know had the coronavirus, it didn't convince me anymore that the coronavirus wasn't real. I already knew that. We already knew that. Jesus Christ. Every day, watch television without touching the remote for 10 minutes, and you're going to see that. You know there's a subliminal message in there from the ad council with the, even if you're not sick, stay at home. And even if you're not sick and at home, get under the covers. And even when you're under the covers, wear a helmet. The world knows the coronavirus exists. Yeah, seeing it happen, oh my God, it happened to a friend of mine? Oh, you mean like I have more friends that have had cancer in the past than any of my friends who've had coronavirus? People have gone through divorce, battled alcoholism, drug addiction, other diseases. But I digress. Seeing her post this did not make it any more real for me. I already knew that. I don't need to be in a car accident to know that car accidents happen. It's insulting to prose intelligence to think that it's only real if a friend or family member you know catches it. That is self-centered. This whole ordeal on her Farcebook page was about getting attention, and that's all that it was. She didn't save a life. She didn't give out any new information on how to treat this thing. She didn't try some new experimental drug and keep us up to date on some progress. This was about attention. And if I posted every time I sneezed or my lower back hurt or I didn't get a good night's sleep, and if everyone did that in the world, the internet would break. Think before you post, okay? Ask yourself, why am I posting this? For me, here's what I ask. Is this funny? Am I promoting something? Is it cute? Did it inspire me or affect me in some way? Because I generally want to share this happiness or serious information that the world of my closest friends and my family member may not know about. I would like to think that I have never posted because I want a pity party, or I want people to look at my body or my flashy new possessions or remind them that I'm living my best life. To that order, without social media, the pandemic, the shutdowns, the protests, the riots, the virtue signaling would almost be a non-factor. And for those of you who were born in the era too young to have experienced that, that is a damn shame. But we will be seeing more in the news about the corruption, the spying, the illegal operations, the bias, the leanings, the censoring. That is Google, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, TikTok. TikToks, goodbye. You should get off that immediately. And their corruption, spying, trafficking, and tracking, well, and influencing society, politics, and human behavior, and being exposed to how blatantly evil and how much, too much power those big corporations have. I urge you to check all your settings on all your social media platforms. Delete photos and posts that seem intrusive and invasive and that are telling you a little bit too much. Because as more and more freedoms are being taken away daily in America, you're being told where to stand, what to wear, what time you can be at a bar, what food you can order at a bar. I would say that amateurs literally brought this on themselves, myself included. They saw the big picture once they invented all this stuff. We were too naive and attracted to boobs and cool cars and 12-pack abs and the flashiest new this and the funny thing that and cute kittens this to even notice. And now we're paying the price. The powers that be know how much everyone loves socializing. They know how much you amateurs love telling everyone where they go, the kinds of places they go, the establishments and the recreational activities people crave. Why do you think there's a thing on your Facebook, your settings, on your interests? You wouldn't believe the things I get ads for. Despite the fact that I go through my settings about once a month to delete all these different ad topics, yeah, I get things like pregnancy, fishing, needlepoint. I don't care about any of those things. And yet, they still pop up. They're still under my interests. And I change my password every couple weeks. They simply don't want you to be social now. They want to break your spirit and continue to control and invade your privacy. But keep telling yourself it's about safety and germs. Topic number three. It's time to cancel culture. If we were all judged on things we said 1 year, 5 years, or even 10 years ago when we were not as old and wise as we are now, half of us would not even have a job. And most of the population is lucky enough to not be famous so that it draws attention. You should always be careful about what you say, but like me, sometimes you're not. Emotions, lack of sleep, alcohol, drugs, anxiety, all of which are way heightened right now since March. All of those factors contribute to stupid, careless social media postings. Now, I'm sure... As I mentioned earlier, I've said things on 100 episodes of my podcast and counting, on stage, in my book, that might be off-putting, might come back to bite me in the ass, and certainly could be taken out of context, especially if you don't know me. But as I've always said, amateur nation is determined by their actions, and considering the actions of some of these celebrities and athletes, it's time they get the hammer dropped on them. Many people are having careers and lives canceled over things said. Not done, said often years ago and often out of context and usually on social media. With that, here are some celebs who, if we're going to play that game, should be canceled. That happened recently, many not on social media, but rather on video. First on the list, as I mentioned earlier, any and all celebrities who contribute to any rioters who destroyed public property, committed assault and or murder, committing anarchy against the United States disguised as free speech and democracy, and were later released on bail thanks to their contributions, thus keeping activists and rioters away from their mansions, estates, and property. The list is long and sad. Google it. Nick, I think I'm part Malcolm X and part Louis Farrakhan when I'm really just a host of some ridiculous talent show, Canon. Here's a guy whose work ethic I always admired. I heard him interviewed on the Howard Stern Show. I'm like, man, this guy works his ass off. Good for him. Then he revealed his hate. Google it. Jussie Smollett, winner of the most amateur cry for attention on last year's Emmy Awards on this podcast. Bubba Wallace, first Noosegate and now bad sportsmanship combined with religious hate against a fellow driver that had nothing to do with the race. Any of the NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball athletes who kneel. And by the way, why isn't Jussie Smollett and Bubba Wallace canceled? And Nick Cannon, for that matter, in cancel culture. Most people who are victims of cancel culture that lose their jobs said something or have a belief system, but when they said something, it was usually a long time ago and out of context. Bubba and Jesse committed hoaxes, tying up police and FBI, the judicial system, all of which you taxpayers paid for. Amateurs, you can't have it both ways. Can't have it both ways. Pros, fight back. Boycott these celebrities and their products, their movies, their TV shows, their sporting events. Boycott them. And when they appear anywhere in your life, on TV and radio, turn them off. Look, it's been almost 6 months without new movies in an actual movie theater, new programming on TV, and regular uninterrupted sports. Looks like we did okay without them, didn't we? Sure, you could say the same about me, stand-up comedy, and my career pursuits in the entertainment world. That's your right. but know that pros have had enough. All right, time for some quickies. Here we go. Is there a way to Yelp review 2020? There's got to be a way we can post a review on that. Is it me or is it Shark Week every week? Every week. I know I've not been watching that much television, but the Discovery Networks own a lot of channels. I watch Motor Trend Network a lot, and I feel like it's Shark Week every other week. This just in from Dr. Anthony Keebler-Elf Fauci. Wherever your body has a hole, cover it, plug it, fill it. And by the way, someone give this guy a Luton's cough drop or a Hall's. Jesus. It's just a mask. What's the big deal? It's just a mask and goggles. What's the big deal? It's just a mask, goggles, and hat. What's the big deal? It's just a mask, goggles, and hat, rubber gloves. What's the big deal? Okay. So now, many teachers don't want to teach online. You know, I appreciate good teachers, and I had my share of them growing up. I can name every good teacher I had, and bad, from kindergarten all the way through college. I could. I know my favorite teachers for every grade. I still remember their names. I certainly don't have the patience to do the job they do. I have substitute taught before. I know they are very underpaid. But if you teachers refuse to even online teach during this downtime, yeah, there are plenty of men and women out there that will happily take your job and need the money, especially once this is all over. Everyone is expendable and non-essential. I know I just said earlier that everyone's essential. Well, guess what? If everyone's essential, everyone can be non-essential then, right? If we're all equal, I thought we were all equal here. Oh, that's right, Animal Farm. Some animals are more equal than others. Never mind. All right. You know, I've, like many people, I was in a funk not too long ago, just kind of like, not depressed, just like, ugh. You know, working out at home and not really going anywhere, hadn't seen anybody for a few days. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to bake chocolate chip cookies. You know, I'm going to fill up my place with the smell of one of my all-time favorite smells. It makes me happy. I mean, I've always said, eat a chocolate chip cookie and try to be in a bad mood. It's impossible. Imagine my dismay when I realized that I had accidentally purchased chocolate chip oatmeal cookies by mistake. A few words that came to mind, betrayal, fraud, abomination. Man, you know what's funny? Even when I put them on the pan to make. They were the frozen kind. I didn't really do it from scratch. What am I, a pioneer? Churning my own butter now? Anyway, I put them on. I didn't notice that they were oatmeal. I just thought they were, that was just how they looked. I bit into that. I let out a masterful chain of swear words. I actually called a cookie the C word. And now the most ludicrous math and logic I've heard in a long time. You ready for this? Take a look at this stupidity I found on more than one amateur Facebook wall. It says if you have 12 bad cops and 1,300 good cops, but the 1,300 good cops don't turn in the 12 bad cops, you have 1,312 bad cops. First of all, why 12? And why 1,300? Okay, I'll get to that. I only have 9 things wrong with this ignorant amateur post. Number one, as I've said, in every walk of life, every occupation, there will be racist, violent, unfair, dishonest, crooked, criminal employees in every occupation. The very amateurs who posted this crap just might be some of those people. You'll never know, will you? Number two, by the way, this is, going back to my other point, this is not very good at hiding the ACAB, the ACAB acronym, which means all cops are bastards. Really? All? What, because you, the amateur, copied and pasted that meme? Yeah, nice try. Number three, even if this reasoning was made more clear in terms of the overall message trying to be made here, and that is it's the responsibility of the honest to call out the dishonest in all occupations, not just police. More on that in a moment. Who's to say that out of the 1,312 cops, all were aware of what the bad 12 did? I worked at an office for years with about 77 people. The things I found out about some of the people that they did in their private and professional lives while I worked there and years later were pretty alarming. Nothing criminal, of course. But I didn't know when my coworkers cheated on their spouses, and I said nothing. It was like I cheated on my spouse had I had one, right? I didn't realize I was complicit. I knew a coworker was cheating on their spouse and I said nothing, so I guess that makes me an adulterer despite the fact that I was single. I'm not the driver in the I'm the driver of the bank robbery. I didn't hold the gun. I just drove the getaway car. Number five. Last time I checked, reporting on the bad cops, that's what internal affairs in the police department is for. Am I wrong? Policing the police. Can they do better? Always. Agreed. But no, I will not throw 1,300 good cops under the bus because of 12 amateurs. I'm sorry, 1,288 good cops. Any more than I won't throw 1,300 good priests under the bus, or 1,300 doctors or teachers, any of these professions that I mentioned last week that are held to a higher standard and that we rely on to mentor, protect, educate, comfort, and guide us, sometimes our children. Number six, it's scummy for this meme to have ever even been created. Not for censorship, but I can still call it scummy. Even amateurs know it, especially with the ACAB undertones. What would amateurs do without acronyms? I myself prefer this, ABACAB. Sure, it's a title track of the 1981 album by Genesis, but I say ABACAB means amateurs believe all cops are bastards. Number seven, I think by cop number, say, 10 out of the 1,300 of turning in the bad cops, I think the message is sent. Let's not waste time, shall we? There are real criminals out there doing really bad stuff, not to mention things that cops deal with, as I've mentioned before. Traffic accidents, domestic violence, natural disasters, drunk drivers, murder, assault, rape, robbery. Be sure to send in that social worker next time that happens. Number eight, by the way, be careful amateurs when and where you use the word all. That's the foundation of most things that are bad. Racism, fascism, communism. I'll say many, I'll say most. I don't really say all a lot in my everyday life. And number nine, for the people that posted this tripe, look how virtuous you are. You speak up for the downtrodden. If there are 1,312 pros and 12 are amateur virtue signalers and the other 1,300 pros don't cancel the 12 virtue signalers, that just means the 1,300 pros were working and had better things to do than acknowledge your craving for praise and attention. Son of a bitch. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. From ZeroHedge.com. Here's your headline, NFL player Stephon Tuitt. I'm not kneeling for the flag and screw anybody who has a problem with that. I used to be an NFL fan and a diehard Steelers fan. I was born in the suburb of Pittsburgh. Got an autographed football from the 77-78 Super Bowl Steelers. It's in my office right now. Every signature Hall of Famer. Got a terrible towel. Got a Lynn Swann jersey. I was a fan. But at least there is this ray of hope. The article says, Tuitt took to Twitter and wrote about the success of his grandmother, an immigrant from the Caribbean, to explain why he refuses to disrespect the flag. He says, my grandmother was an immigrant from the Caribbean and worked her ass off to bring 20 people over the right way. She had no money and educated herself to be a nurse. She's living good now. That's appreciation. That's not biting the hand that feeds you. In his case, the NFL and America. And that is pro. Number two is pro, but also a correction and an apology. A couple episodes ago, I thanked friend and fellow Northeast Ohio broadcaster Chuck Matthews for recording the new show opening that you hear. And he volunteered to do that, by the way. Did it for free. And I incorrectly said he is production director at Oh Wow Radio, an internet radio station in Cleveland, when actually he owns and operates, he runs two internet radio stations, North Coast Greatest Hits with 50s, 60s, and 70s music, and an adult album alternative rock hybrid station. It's called Radio Free Cleveland, world-class rock. You can hear them both by going to cleerocks.net, CLEROCKS.net. I mean, after all, Cleveland is the birthplace of rock and roll. It's where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is. So once again, thanks, Chuck, and my apologies for the mistake. See, I'm wrong, and I apologized. I was wrong. That's twice in my life, and I admitted it, and I lived. Number three. And speaking of Chuck Matthews, I actually saw this on his wall. This is short and sweet. Here's a quote by Hunter S. Thompson. When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. Please, again, subscribe to my YouTube page where you can see previews for future podcast episodes and past ones if you need to get caught up. This show is heard on 14 podcast platforms too. Of course, this has to happen during the close, right? It's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Go to Amazon to download my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. And email me, lou@lousantini.com. Check out my website, lousantini.com. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.